The National Weather Service issued a winter storm warning until noon for parts of central, northeast, and most of southern Wisconsin. The winter storm warning is in effect for all of southeast Wisconsin, with the exception of Racine and Kenosha. We're looking at this storm on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. What is it like where you are? Do you work outdoors? How has the snow affected you getting your job done? Call in at 800-642-1234. Shoot an email to us at ideas@wpr.org. Jordan Girth is an associate researcher at the Cooperative Institute for Meteorological Satellite Studies here at the UW-Madison. Jordan, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning to you.
So now this storm is moving out of Wisconsin today. It's known as Winter Storm Indra, is that right?
Yeah, that's how the Weather Channel has named it.
So it was expected to dump anywhere from 4 to 12 inches, depending on the part of the state it was in. How does this storm compare? How does this system compare to what we saw last week?
This is a slightly different type of system, but in terms of the snowfall that we've seen accumulating so far, the numbers are about on par with each other. Of course, this snow is still falling, so we're expecting several more inches through the morning hours if you're in southern Wisconsin.
And projected snow totals were pretty wide. They were all over the place for the system. What goes into determining how much precipitation may happen?
Well, snowfall is actually one of the hardest things that meteorologists have to predict. They first have to get the amount of liquid equivalent, if you will, correct. So they first have to figure out how much water content is in the cloud, and then they have to figure out how that water converts to snow. And in cases like this, where we have cold air to the north and modestly warm air to the south, you have less water content in that cooler air. And so you have to figure out exactly how that water converts to actual snow on the ground.
And how does a lake effect contribute to snow totals?
The lake effect adds to snow totals. We've had a warm winter so far, so a lot of the Great Lakes have not had an opportunity to cool down sufficiently. So there's a big difference in temperature between Lake Michigan and Lake Superior in this cold air mass that's really coming down for the first time. And so if the winds are right off the lake, and in many cases for Milwaukee, they have to be a northeasterly wind. For the northern Wisconsin areas, they have to be a northwesterly wind, which is a bit more common. You can get quite a bit of snow that's added as a result of the moisture, water vapor that comes off Lake Michigan and then is deposited on land with that wind.
So this cold air mass that's moving in, help us understand where it's coming from and when it will arrive in Wisconsin.
Well, it's already here. It's been a bit abated recently because of this weather system. But, this is a weather system air mass that originates from the Arctic, and over time, in the northern hemisphere during the winter months, that the stability, if you will, of that mass of cold air around the North Pole starts to get disturbed. And as it starts to get disturbed, it breaks apart, and pieces of it come down southward across the northern hemisphere continent. So, we're part of a global system here. We've got Europe, Asia, and North America. For the good part of December into early January, we didn't see the cold air funneling into North America, particularly Eastern North America, like it had been in Asia. Now things have changed as these pieces of the polar vortex, if you will, have started to move around the hemisphere, and now it's our turn to see some below normal temperatures for the remainder of the month of January.
Talking with Jordan Gerth, he's an associate researcher at UW-Madison's Cooperative Institute for Meteorological Satellite Studies. And you can join in with your weather questions, 800-642-1234. How has this snowstorm impacted you? Do you work outdoors? How has the snow affected you getting your job done? Are you worried about the chilly Arctic air, chilly temperatures in the forecast for ahead, and your safety? 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. So, Jordan, you talk about the polar vortex. What is the polar vortex? And we've also heard that it's getting more wobbly.
Right, exactly. And the polar vortex is really just a mass of cold air that sits over the North Pole. When it gets wobbly, it gets displaced, or it splits into fragments on its edges, and then those fragments make it down into the mid-latitudes, for example, where we are here in Wisconsin. So we're in that part of winter where the polar vortex has gotten fragmented into pieces, and we've seen those pieces move over the different continents. One of them now is here over eastern North America, and that is resulting and will continue to result in some cold air through the balance of the month of January.
As you look at numbers in terms of temperature and snowfall, how is this winter stacking up compared to other winters?
Well, this winter has started out very warm. Most people in Wisconsin have seen temperatures probably about 5 to 7 degrees above where they normally would have been. Now, in the past couple days, that's starting to change. But, in the climate world, we look at December, January, and February as really our coldest months, not really the traditional way that some people look at winter starting on in late December and continuing through late March. But we look at these three coldest months, and so far December was above normal. The first half of January was certainly above normal. Now we'll see a period of below normal temperatures that will somewhat balance out January, but then we'll take a look at February, and we don't see right now this very cold air mass continuing into February, but instead most likely a bit of a moderation.
Let's bring in a question here. Tracy is joining us from Milwaukee. Go ahead, Tracy.
Good morning. I was just wondering about what I've been noticing, that we get a big storm of snow, and then right after, it'll go right down into the really cold temperatures, and I feel like that's unusual, or I haven't noticed that in years previous. Is that something new, or is that typically always what happens?
So snow dump followed by frigid air, Jordan.
Yeah, I'm not sure if that's something that's new, but, it certainly depends on the year as to how frequently that happens. Oftentimes, as a weather system passes and dumps a significant amount of snow, it really makes it hard to keep the temperatures up. And so that new, fresh snowpack really lowers the temperatures. Now, it is also the case that behind weather systems, like the one we have in now, as that weather system departs, the winds come out of the north, and they really help reinforce some of the colder air that was already in place. So you have those two different things going on the backside of a weather system that's dumped some fresh snow that really help to bring temperatures down behind a fresh snow. And it's a good observation, particularly if you're living in southeastern Wisconsin. That effect can be limited a little bit by a warmer Lake Michigan that can sometimes keep temperatures up.
Jordan Gerth stays with us as we dig into what we need to know about the frigid temperatures in the forecast here in the Midwest. He's an associate researcher at UW-Madison's Cooperative Institute for Meteorological Satellite Studies. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you see when you look outside? Did you get a big dump of snow? Let's talk about it. We'll pick up the conversation in a minute on the Ideas Network. We're talking about the winter storm and the deep freeze here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Wisconsin emergency management officials have tips on how to stay prepared for the snow and cold. If you must travel, allow plenty of extra time for your trip. Keep at least a half tank of gas in your car. Check the roads before you leave home through 511 Wisconsin, the DOT's up-to-the-minute traffic information system. What are conditions like where you are? How is it affecting your morning commute? Are you concerned about the deep freeze in the days ahead and your safety? Join in the conversation at 800-642-1234. Jordan Girth stays with us. He's an associate researcher at UW-Madison's Cooperative Institute for Meteorological Satellite Studies. And let's go back to the phones now with Jeff joining us from Grand Marsh. Hi, Jeff. What's the question?
Good morning.
Morning.
Not really to do with this particular storm, but a couple days ago on the Weather Channel, I seen them showing how high and low pressure affects the jet stream. And I'm curious, how do you know, let's say there's everything is just even keel right now, how do you know that there's high pressure coming out of Mexico and that it's going to reach all the way up here to the upper Midwest?
Jordan, how do you know through your modeling?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, we have a lot of different weather stations out there, and we also have some basic tenets for how we know the air likes to move. For example, it likes to move from high pressure to low pressure, and as the caller said, the weather really strives to be in an equal state, right? It doesn't like to deviate too far, but with the differential heating, with the changes in the seasons and the amount of sunlight coming in, the weather never really gets the opportunity, the atmosphere never really gets the opportunity to completely settle down. And so we see these shifts from very high pressure to very low pressure. So what we do when we take in all of these observations, not only from the ground stations, but also from weather satellites, is that we use those assumptions that we know about the atmosphere, and we are able to use kind of complex mathematics to move these weather systems forward in time. And so we, based on how it is now, we can make some assumptions and generally predict it forward in time. Of course, weather predictions aren't accurate. That's why, you know, there's still a little bit to learn as far as the accuracy of the observations and some of the assumptions we make about the atmosphere. So hope that answers the question. That's a really good one. And in wintertime, we do see a lot of changes in the pressure. Part of that is due to the polar vortex.
Let's bring in Willie now from Steuben. Willie, hi.
Hey, how's it going? I saw this really weird thing the other day. I'm old, 52, and I never saw this. I've lived in Wisconsin all my life. And these snowflakes, I guess, I call them snowflakes, they fell out of the sky, and they were shaped like hair. Like hair on my head. I'm not kidding you.
So kind of stringy snowflakes. Jordan?
Yeah, snowflake creation is an interesting one. Oftentimes, when you see those kind of flakes, that's an indication that that snow was formed in a very cold atmosphere. I would assume that day was probably one of the cooler days we've had so far this year. Generally, as you get closer to 32 degrees, the snowflakes take a more traditional shape, you know, the star shape of the flakes. And as you get into colder temperatures, they tend to become more elongated. Now, as far as like hair, that's pretty long. I'm not sure I've ever seen anything like that myself, but, it is possible that you get more, cylindrical shaped snowflakes as you get to those colder temperatures.
We have an email here from Ruth who says, what snowstorm? The Spooner Hayward area keeps getting missed. Why do some areas get pounded with snow repeatedly and some areas get missed completely?
Yeah, that's a good question. Not sure there's necessarily a good answer to that. Winter snowfall overall really comes down to two or three big events. So far, it has been southern Wisconsin that's been the big recipient of those snows. And yeah, if you're north of a Green Bay to La Crosse line or so this morning, you're probably not seeing very much in terms of snow at all. There is a big snow deficit in the Eau Claire area heading up into the Northwoods. It's just how this winter's played out. It may not continue like that. There may be opportunities for snow in northern central Wisconsin, but as of right now, the way the weather systems have come out of the plains, it's been southern Wisconsin that's been the beneficiary.
Let's talk about wind chill for a moment. We know dangerous wind chills are coming. Help us understand what is wind chill first.
Yeah, wind chill is a complex formula that really takes into account the air temperature and the wind speed. And pretty much why we use the wind chill is because if you're outside, particularly uncovered skin, the likelihood that you're going to suffer from hypothermia or start feeling the effects of that cold air is greater as the winds increase, because it's really the wind that extracts the heat away from your body. So you could be out on a very calm night, the temperatures may be only in the single digits, and you may not feel that it's all that cold. But you start adding just 5 miles per hour of wind to that, and it feels a lot colder, and that's because the wind is really taking the heat away from your body, and that wind chill really describes the temperature that your body is feeling as the wind is kind of taking the heat away from it.
In this Arctic air blast we'll be getting, what will wind chills be like?
It's going to depend on where you are, but certainly we could see, particularly this weekend, wind chills down in the minus 20, minus 30 range. Air temperatures already are going to be fairly chilly as we struggle to reach the single digits above zero here, at least in the southern part of the state, Friday, Saturday. So you start to add the wind on top of that, and, yeah, you're going to be in the double digits below zero. Hopefully people in Wisconsin know how to bundle up, so time to get good use of those hats, mittens, and very warm coats.
So given the long-range forecasts, can Wisconsinites expect to get a warm-up anytime soon as we look into the coming weeks? I know that's tricky when you look at your predictions and your complex math.
That's right. It is tricky, and it is it's a forecast. It may not prove 100% accurate. I will say that I think that the coldest 2 weeks of the winter appear to be here through about February 1st or so. As everybody knows, on February 2nd, the groundhog is going to have a say, and we'll have to wait to see what the groundhog says. But anyway, I'm kidding about that. The after about February 1st or so, we start to see a change, a moderation of temperatures back into, slightly more normal, the normal range, which is probably in the upper 20s to lower 30s. Some indications show that by later in the month, it could actually be even slightly warmer than that. So this cold air does not appear like it's going to be staying around for many, many weeks. And then as we head into the spring, hopefully that warming trend will continue. I know a lot of people have perhaps negative memories of last winter getting perhaps one of the largest snowstorms in Wisconsin's history in mid-April. I can't rule that out completely, but I could say it's a good chance that that's not going to happen again this year. So for Wisconsin growers, I think it's going to be a more natural progression to spring.
Jordan, we've learned to let go. We don't recall. No, absolutely no recollection.
Okay, that's good.
So what do you love about studying weather? What makes meteorology so fascinating to you?
I've loved studying the weather ever since I was a young child. It's one of those things that you continue to see new things every day, and there's a lot of technology involved in sensing the atmosphere, and it's always a bit humbling to do forecasts and to some extent be right or be wrong. And you know, we're getting to a state in the science now where we're actually right more than we are wrong, contrary to what some people say. And I think that's been a great contribution to see that in my career and be part of that with all of the technology that we have, weather satellites here at the University of Wisconsin, and really put those into play to make forecasts and weather warnings better for the public.
Well, Jordan, thank you for joining us. Stay warm.
You too.
Jordan Girth is an associate researcher at UW-Madison's Cooperative Institute for Meteorological Satellite Studies. Keep sharing your weather photos, your experiences on Twitter by mentioning WPR Mornings. Up next, it's news. Then the Detroit Auto Show is underway in the Motor City, offering car buyers a sneak peek at what we might see in the coming year. An auto industry expert joins us to break down the highs and lows from the showroom floor, as well as the overall trends we're seeing in the auto industry. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network.